Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Welcome to an hour of power. This is Donna C. Having a little bit of a my, but we're going to work with that for just a second here. And there we go. I got it up, so it's up and running. A little bit of a challenge there. This is Donna Sebo with the Hour of Mind Power, and we have got a dynamic hour for you. So many good things to share. And my guest today has put together a book called The Grand Experiment. And this is something that I think all of us need to be alert to. If you're like me, you've encountered all kinds of situations and conditions, and you go through all kinds of ups and downs. Well, my guest today, Gail Gregory, has given us some tools that we can work with that empowers us as an individual. Gail, I want to welcome you to the show.
So happy to be here, Donna.
Well, I really was impressed with your book because of the way that you set up information. It gives an individual some mental meat to chew on, first of all. But I just got off the phone with someone that had a major trauma hit them. They were fired from their job, and the whole way that it was done was just beyond belief. And the first words when I picked up your book, getting ready for the show, my eyes fell on this sentence: to find the gift in what arises requires discipline. And I thought, holy Moses, that's exactly what I had said in a different way to this person that this traumatic situation had happened to just 15 minutes ago. And I looked at this and I thought, it really does require a discipline to be able to understand that when things happen, there's, I don't want to say, use a false mask that everything is just absolutely going to be hunky-dory in life, and when something goes bad, well, there's this, that, or the other reason for it. But it is important to look for that gift. Gail, how did you come into deciding to participate in this grand experiment along with Madron Campbell and Karen Johnson Brookshire?
I got tired of having my fears drive and determine my behavior. It seemed like I was a very successful businesswoman. I was a high-paid consultant, worked for a Fortune 500 company. And I'd walk into a room of strangers whenever I was networking or whatever, and I would get this almost panic attack. And you sit there, now there's no reason for that. There's no reason why you should be feeling that way. And yet there was this lump in my heart and in my stomach that just made me hold back. And I just really got tired of having that experience, and I wanted to see what it was that held that fear in place. And what I found was that if I dove into the fear and began looking at it layer by layer by layer, that all I had to do was look at it and it would dissolve. And so that's kind of what started the whole experiment.
Now, I want people to know, just like you said, that you left corporate America working for a Fortune 500 company. You took off, left it all behind, decided you were going to sail to Mexico in 1997, and I know some of my listeners are going to go, yes, yes, that's the way to go, just take off to Mexico. Well, you did your contemplation, and you, after facing your fears and really getting down to the bare bones of yourself, you found you wanted to create a global community where people can feel safe enough to risk coming out of hiding to be who they really are. That is a big, big challenge to take on. And you've done all kinds of studying of all kinds of spiritual principles. You've looked at things from all points of the globe. And you now feel that the universe is your teacher, which I think is a marvelous way to be able to look at life rather than getting stuck in dogma. Now, the three of you decided to pool your tools of knowledge together. How did the three of you get together to do the grand experiment? What was the grand experiment?
That's an interesting story in and of itself. It started out, it was just Karen and I. We were going to write a business book. I was doing consulting for her organization. She was a CEO for a credit union, and I was impressed with how she was bringing love into the workplace. And so we sat down. We were going to write this just small little business book. And as we started working together, it began to dawn on us that it wasn't a business book. It was a book for individuals, because that was the only way to change business, was to change the individuals within the business. And about that point, we asked Madryn to come in with us as well. So we had the three of us sitting around one table with one computer, writing each sentence together. Talk about having all of your buttons pushed. It was just the most fascinating experiment in and of itself, because what we found is as we began to look at each fear to write about it, we began to experience it intensely, all in our own ways. And so we went through each one of the fears as a team and individually, and part of that is what you see now in the book.
Wow, what a challenge.
It was.
You know, you think of three women sitting around the table, and I guess it could happen with guys. The guys don't seem to have the hang-up sometimes that we gals do about sharing certain things. And to be able to have that kind of honesty and integrity and to allow your buttons to be pushed and to literally work through some of the issues that maybe were covered up with what I call the mayonnaise of life sandwich.
And absolutely.
There you go. There you've got it, and here you are taking it apart layer by layer. What an experience. How long did it take you to put all this together?
Almost 3 years.
Wow.
And actually, Madryn is a man, and so it was one man and two women, so there was some interesting dynamics there as well. And it also brought a bit of juice to the writing the book as well, because we had a male viewpoint as well. And so it kind of, well, it pushed all of my buttons having to do with the old things I had about men. two women. There's all sorts of dynamics that were represented as we were going through it.
Well, that's great, and I'm glad you clarified that for me, because for some reason I thought Madryn was a female, but that's good.
You're not the first.
Yes, and that's really a good positioning to be from, because you're giving and getting perspectives that maybe you wouldn't have even considered. So I think that's great. All right, let's talk about the grand experiment. You decided you were going to go on this path, and you say it's the path to the discovery of our authentic selves, uncovering our myths, our beliefs. I like those two words, myths and beliefs, because they really walk arm in arm throughout life. How can you differentiate, and how do you work with that? And I know we're going to go into the seven myths, but that was an interesting pairing of words that you chose. Why did you choose those?
Underlying all of our beliefs are these seven myths. These seven myths are the foundation of everything that we think and hold true. It's the basis that's absolutely, in most of our lives, totally unquestioned. It's the givens.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at any belief then is suspect, because it's built upon the foundation of these seven myths. And so our part of the experiment is the idea of beginning to let go of all belief and to see what it is that we are underneath it.
I think there was a man that did this many, many, many years ago. His name was Napoleon Hill. And when he was in the process, not unlike what you and your associates did, he had a big group of ahas that came to him where he had to do the very same thing. You know, why did I respond certain ways? It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. That's the way he thought about it. And it is fascinating how we adopt certain stances, why we have accepted certain belief systems so easily and so comfortably. But if that's all we were taught, that's what we buy into. I love your story where you talk about your partner's son waking up in the morning with an allergenic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And You commented to John, your partner, that this was perhaps the result of the ice cream that he ate the night before, and he said it was due to working outdoors and not what he was eating, and he said, that's your belief and not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something. How did you respond to that?
Actually, that one was Karen.
Oh, that was Karen.
And it was actually for her, it was one of those aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
It was, oh, we don't all have the same belief. So at that point, she had to ask herself, so what's true? And then, of course, you had to let go of both because there's no validity in either. It's just your belief that's based in your own programming. And it was just one of those major insight moments that you were talking about from Napoleon as well.
Mm-hmm. And when it happens, it's like, oh, my goodness. And you can never go back to the old way of thinking because you literally have had a mind blast attack that says, uh-uh, that doesn't work anymore. Talk to us a little bit about Velcro thoughts. I like that pairing there.
Velcro thoughts. We've all had them. Those are those thoughts that they stick to us like Velcro. No matter what we do, they just keep coming back. We try to push them away. We try to think about something else, but the thought just keeps coming back and it keeps sticking to us.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're finding is underneath that thought is, which is a belief generally, is the myth. And so if once you begin to dig down into the myth, you can actually release the thought as well because we actually vibrate at, we have a resonance level, and based on our belief, we're going to attract those thoughts they're vibrating at that same level. And as we begin to peel away the myths that are underlying them, then it changes everything that we're attracting as well. When you look at some of the people who are playing with The Secret now,
yes.
some of them are very successful, and some people are having struggles with it. And it's because underneath what they're trying to program their brain is this programming that's underlying, it's the foundation of all of their beliefs. And until they begin to deconstruct that, they'll continue creating the same thing over and over again.
Part of that, too, is dealing with fear.
Mm-hmm.
I think many times to be able to peel away the layers of stuff that we accumulate, and goodness knows we've all got it, when you get down to it, you really need to have that feeling of safety, that place of safety where you can do that, where you can make it okay that you can say what you want to say and nobody's going to be judgmental about it because this is a do-it-yourself thing for you. What would you recommend to someone that is wanting to do this for themselves? How would you recommend they go about doing it so they feel safe?
There's a couple ways you can do it. One thing we recommend is journaling and beginning to write down your thoughts in the safety of your own privacy. That's one way to do it. But the other way that really works well is if you have somebody who you trust, who's a friend. It could be a spouse. It could be a friend. It could be somebody who you've met through a spiritual inquiry or something like that, where you together make the decision that you're going to go on this experiment, and you become it's almost pals in the experiment, so you can share what's happening. That gives you somebody to bounce it off of. One of the other things is we actually do coaching for people who decide that they want to go down this path and want to dismantle their fears. Since we've been there, we know the territory, and so we're actually pretty good tour guides.
Now let's talk about the myth. Let's go to myth one. The world is a scary place.
Protect and defend. If we're in protect and defend mode, we wouldn't be protecting and defending against something if we didn't think there was something to be afraid of. That the whole basis of a scary world. And it's just that underlying fear that there's something out there that's going to get us, that we have to protect ourselves from. If we look at what we're doing with our children these days, I mean, I think back to when I used to walk to school. I was a first grader, second grader, walking to school by myself many blocks.
Uh-huh.
Things like that don't happen anymore because we're believing more and more that it's a scary world. And we're constantly protecting and sheltering our children and ourselves from the world.
I agree with that.
Absolutely. The alternative, of course, two, the myth is the idea that the world is. We give it meaning. There's personal responsibility there. And it's kind of scary from the standpoint, ooh, you mean I'm creating this. But yes, but the good part about that is I'm creating this. I can change it.
Yes. Now, let's go to myth two. There's not enough.
Not
there
enough time.
There is not enough.
Not enough money. I don't have enough talent. If I just had something else, if I just had the right house, then maybe, you know. But there's only so much, so I'm going to have to go compete. And if I get something, then somebody else won't. And if somebody else gets it, then I won't. So I can't be happy for them. I can't feel joy for them when they get something because they got it and I didn't. And it really creates an us versus them mentality where we're constantly on our guard, worrying about taking care of number one.
You have, along in the book while we're talking about this, there are a number of suggestions and recommendations and questions that you can ask yourself. This book is a book that can be like a friend. It can be that ally that you want that allows you to take the journey without any judgment on you, participating in this grand experiment. Myth number three, the power is outside of us. And by the way, for those of you just tuning in, we're talking with Gail Gregory, The Grand Experiment, an Expedition of Self-Discovery. Myth number three, the power is outside of us, Gail.
This is the ultimate victim statement. We don't recognize that we're being a victim when we assign power to those outside of us, whether it's our government, whether it's the teachers, whether it's our boss, whether it's our neighbor, whether it's our husband, our children, we're constantly giving our power away. And we believe that somebody else has the power to make us happy. And we alone can make that decision and always do because we're always interpreting whatever's happening to us. And so if you look at the power is within and always has been as the alternative to the power being outside of us, all of a sudden we're in a position to make a decision, make a choice, to determine how we're going to respond rather than just being at the effect of whatever is happening.
You use an illustration with that myth about the old-time radio. Share that example.
The old-time radios with the static that was being, when you tuned them, you got this little static around it, and you were always kind of like getting a background station. And when we're listening from an intuitive standpoint, we're always kind of hearing just a little bit in the background. We're kind of like those old radios from that standpoint because we actually can hear a clearer, purer tone. It's that intuitive, mystical experience that, by the way, 7 out of 10 Americans say that they've had some experience of. And we can hear that background station, and once we clear away the fear, once we begin diving in and peeling away a few layers, we can actually hear that background station, which is our own true knowing, and we can hear that much more clearly.
Myth number four, we're not enough.
We do a lot of coaching with executives. We do a lot of business organizational work, and even the CEOs that we work with have this myth in play. You would be amazed at how many high-powered, already-made-it CEOs, when we come right down to the bottom line in coaching, it's, I'm not enough. And this sense that I need something more to make me enough, the next raise, the bigger house, the better partner, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, it can be as simple as I need that new dress before I go to the party so I'll be okay.
Uh-huh.
We're never enough just the way we are. This one drives us. This one is a big one. It's the heart chakra that it's associated with. And when we begin dismantling this one and the seventh myth, both of these two are two of the most powerful of the seven because they will deconstruct the others as we begin looking at them. And this one is the one that causes us to hold the world at a distance. This is the one when we're walking by the mirror and we get a glimpse of ourselves and we see perhaps a little extra love handle around our waist, or we look maybe a few years older than we thought we did. We don't stand there in the mirror and just look. We very quickly move past and forget that we ever saw it. We're afraid to look at that because we're not enough. Instead, we miss out on the beauty of who we truly are.
Myth number five is the one right way. The one right way. And again, with each of these myths, you associate it with a chakra mm-hmm. in the body. And with this one, it's the throat chakra. So talk to us about the one right way.
The one right way is the cause of schoolyard fights. It's the cause of divorces. It's the cause of parents and children being separate, whether they're in the same house from each other. It's the cause of war. It's my way is the only way. And what's interesting is it's not just the way we interact with the world, but we also have our own one right ways in the way we are. For example, we may say, well, this is just the way I am. I can't change. Or I've always been this way, so this becomes my one right way. Whenever we're using the word should, life should be like this, I should be like this, you should be, we're talking about a right way, one right way. This one keeps us from seeing what's possible. It puts us into a box, and it really limits our life because when we open up to the possibility that there's just a myriad ways out there to explore things, we begin to have access into the unknown, and that is where magic resides.
Myth number six, we know what is real. Now, this has to do with the third eye, the chakra, self-reflection.
It does.
All right, we know what is real. Okay, what is real?
If I can see it, taste it, touch it, feel it, it's got to be real. And it's interesting, we talk about the sixth sense. And our children, when they're little, generally have a pretty good access to this. They can see things and hear things, and they have a sense of being connected that we miss out on as we're older. What I'm beginning to discover with my own as I'm clearing away the fears, and I'm continuing, by the way, to do it. I'm not done. I'm guessing I will never be done in this lifetime. Is there's always more to be undone. But as I clear away, what I'm finding is that the sixth sense is probably not what I used to think of it. I used to think of it as intuition. But what I'm finding is it's basically an expanded sense of all of the other five senses. They seem to be expanding because I'm no longer as contracted by the fear. And so with each time that you release the fear, you expand a little bit and you get a little more free. So beginning, when you first start to do the work, it's kind of scary because you're going into those fears. But after a while, it gets to the point, it's just bring them on. I want to see everything that's here because you know how much better you feel each time you go in and look at one and say, hi, I see you. And you see it dissolve. And so you begin to say, I don't know what's real. I have no idea what's possible. And in doing that and in seeing that, you realize that you've created all of this stuff with the basis of the fears in the background. And so you don't, what is real? I don't know. And as you open up to not knowing, then you have access to knowledge, you have access to compassion and to love that is so far beyond any imagination that I ever had. In fact, I once told somebody, if I would have been able to achieve my greatest, grandest dreams, I would have so far discounted myself from what was possible by going on this experiment and beginning to and dissolving the fears, because it's so much grander than I could ever believe possible.
Very liberating. Mm. Let's talk about the last one. Well, again, the one with the crown chakra. What is number seven myth?
I am separate and alone. It is what we call the mother of all myths, the original myth. It is the myth that were it not there, none of the other myths could exist. Because you begin looking and say, okay, I am separate and alone. And the alternative to that is oneness. if we truly believed and understood at a cellular level the oneness, then what there couldn't be a scary world. We would never worry about there being enough or about ourselves being enough or the power being outside of us. We would see how we're all interconnected and interrelated and realize there are many paths, that there's not just one right way. And we would also realize that not knowing what's real is the entry, it's a portal into the mystery and the majesty of this world. And so you can begin by taking apart I am separate and alone, and all of the other myths will fall apart of their own volition. Now, this one's kind of scary because it's a little more difficult to kind of get a hold of, the idea that, oh, I'm not this separate being. I'm really a part of this oneness. It's easier to look at the other six myths first, and then they will deconstruct the seventh. But the fastest way is look at the seventh, and the other ones will fall apart of their own.
The grand experiment, this is a journey, Gail, that you are still traveling, and you and your associates share your own personal stories in this book, The Grand Experiment. Where do you see your journey taking you at this time? Do you have any idea what's in the next curve of challenge you're going to explore?
I know that I don't know. I am willing to be standing here in the middle of the ambiguity and fully, joyfully, perhaps for the first time, glad I'm here. There's not an ounce of me anymore that would choose to not be here living this life that I'm living. I'm fully engaged. I am living life out loud. And I'm here to tell my life and my path is going to take me in a place where I can share this message with everyone. This is their birthright. Freedom from fear is your birthright. And where it's going to take me, I know there's no end zone. I know that it'll never quit unfolding. And it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and more amazing and knock me to my knees in gratitude. I don't know. And it's the most glorious I don't know I've ever spoken.
Isn't that wonderful? That you don't have it all in a little box and saying, okay, and then when I get to this point, well, I guess the key fits in it and that's it, folks, and I'm out of here. This is wonderful because you have got an attitude about life where, like you said, you're embracing the moment, you are living in the now, and looking at the discovery of self is quite a joyful experience. And in the process, there might be some tears, there might be some frustration, there might be anger. But when you can have that release, then it's okay. You just look at it, and you really can be a very, very self-fulfilled individual. You can be happy, and you can have that joyfulness that we used to know as children.
Exactly.
Just taking the moment, being totally responsible for who we are. And I think that's what your book brings as a gift, is the understanding of personal responsibility, self-awareness, but that you can enjoy this journey. Even if it may have some discomfort in it, it is yours. It's nobody else's. And you can do it in your own way. Gail Gregory is my guest, The Grand Experiment, an expedition of self-discovery, which makes for wonderful reading, and also it's a friend. Books are like friends to me, and I think this is a very good friend and companion to have. Gail, what's your website so people can go there and find out more about you and your group?
It's pure-possibility.org.
That's pure-possibility.org. And you'll find all kinds of information there about their coaching and more about the book itself. Gail, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Again, The Grand Experiment, an expedition of self-discovery. Gail Gregory has been my guest today. She and her associates have put together, I think, a very powerful publication that can empower you as an individual. Thanks, Gail, for being with me.
Thank you for having me, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't you go away now. We're going to be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, and our telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz and chat, I'd be delighted to do exactly that. Our toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you'd like to call in from Canada, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756, and also our direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. If you're a new listener and you want to know what you will be able to experience when you call in, well, I am a mental practitioner, a psychic, and I'm delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. So when you call in, I'd like to have from you your first name or your initial, and then I'd like to know where you are calling from. And then I will give you my mental impressions, and you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. You know, yesterday, I have to apologize. I got a little distracted because we had callers, but I was talking about how to deal with debt. And there's so much when you have a lot of bills coming in, you just will feel like you are not able even to breathe as you reach a point where you don't even want to open up the envelope. Well, yesterday I was talking about how I gave a couple of points about how to make your own spending diet and to sock away a little every day. And I made an error when I was talking yesterday. My mind working as a calculator is not always correct. But if you can put a dollar a day aside, if you can put $5 aside on a daily basis, you can put it into a retirement account, and you have the possibility of saving up to $2,000 a year. Well, if you saved a dollar a day, that would be $365 that would go in. If you saved $5 a day, that would be $1,825. And, you know, that compounds. And if you set up a type of an account that allows you to add in extra whenever you're in a position to do so, that can really put you ahead. And it's that small, methodical consistency of putting it aside that is so important. And also, and one of the people, Larry D. Compo, is a gentleman who has really been involved in marketing and helping people work with their money problems. He said there is a number one overspending pattern, and that is about thinking in the moment. Shopping, when we're out shopping, creates a rush that makes you want to buy on impulse. But waiting a day helps you decide whether a potential purchase is really worth it. And I have found myself many times was, gee whiz, I need to get this. But if I do exactly what he says, and I've done this for years, I'll often think, you know, I really don't need that. I like it. I'd love to have it. And I find many times my shopping desires digress. But I used to be called the layaway queen of the Northwest by my friends because so much of what I acquired for years was on layaway, where I didn't have to put it on a credit card. And, of course, our world has changed, and you don't often find environments that allow you to do that anymore. But that allowed me to just put a little bit of money aside on a regular basis. I'd have new clothes. I was able to do all kinds of things, acquire furniture that way. And then I would just wait. I didn't mind waiting for whatever item I was getting. But, again, our culture has changed quite a bit, so that's not offered in very many environments. So we use credit cards. And that can really hurt. That can hurt big time because of the interest rates. And he addresses credit cards, and he said, why don't you use a proven pay-down formula? Pay as much as possible on your lowest balance card and the minimum on the rest, and the one card will be cleared out very quickly, and then you'll be able to eliminate another one. And if you're like so many people that have used 3 or 4, sometimes people have used as many as 10 different credit cards, getting rid of them one at a time is just exhilarating, absolutely exhilarating. And put them in a place. One of my friends, she puts it in her freezer. She puts her credit cards into a plastic bag, fills it with water, and then it's frozen. So she can't possibly use it. Other than someone else I know puts it in a file cabinet where she just knows she's not going to go in and get it. Also, if you're wanting to develop a habit, try developing a cash-only policy. Paying for everything with the cash is a sure way to keep from creating new debt. However, a lot of systems today are going to using credit cards. There is something called the red box that was put into a store that I go to for videos. And they're taking out all the videos, and you can't pay cash anymore. You have to use a credit card if you're going to use that service. So there's a lot of things that are changing in the way that purchases are being handled. So that's just something, if you can use cash, do that, and then reward yourself. If you're feeling deprived financially, you're not going to stick to your own pay-down plan. So you need to treat yourself to maybe a $20 treat every time you reach a debt-free milestone. Now, here are some budget secrets that you can live with quite comfortably while saving bundle. Cell phone users, shop around because you may not be using as many of your cell phone minutes as you would anticipate, and it could save you $20 a month if you switch to a plan with fewer minutes. Also, if you're subscribing to certain publications, you might find that those publications are actually online, and you can read them for free. You don't have to pay for the subscription. Shopping around for car insurance or different types of insurance that you might need, you might be able to save 15% or more. Also, and this is a big one, when you can take care of your own breakfast. So many of us are working, we're in a hurry, we grab a coffee and a muffin, and it just seems like it's not very expensive, maybe $3, $5 a day. Well, when you tally that up, if you took that $3 to $5 a day and put it into a Roth, an IRA, something that is going to compound for you, you're going to go way, way ahead financially. And, you know, just rethink a few things. How can you do something where you're going to be more cost-effective, where you're going to be able to keep more money in your pocket, and then eventually you'll reach that point where you will have that discretionary income that you want so much, be able to travel around the world, maybe buy a yacht, who knows, whatever your pleasure would be. So those are just a few tips. I wanted to finish that up. I had started it yesterday, and I wanted to correct myself on an item that I had mentioned. This is Donna Sebo. And if you would like to chat with me today, I'd be delighted to do exactly that. Here's the telephone number, or the telephone numbers, I should say, 877-876-5227 in the U.S., Canadians 888-815-9756, and also 530-876-3222. Now, I do want to let you know about the guests that are coming up next week. We've got a phenomenal lineup of people. We're going to be talking with Dr. Brooks on Monday, And we're going to be talking about two different physical concerns, and that is colon cancer and prostate cancer. And Dr. Brooks goes all over the country talking to people about this because both of these particular types of cancers can be avoided. You don't need to have them. So we're going to be discussing that on Monday, and then we're going to get into the spooks. Yep, we're going to be talking about spooks on Tuesday. We're going to be talking about the ghosts of Valley Forge in Phoenixville. Dinah Roseberry is going to be my guest. She actually has been involved with ghost hunters, so we're going to have a good time with her. And then Patricia Aberdeen is a lady who has taken time along with an associate to talk and develop information about megatrends in 2010. This is a power-packed book, lots of good information, and you're going to enjoy it. Now, next Thursday and Friday, I am going to be traveling, so we're going to be having the best of Donna. We'll be playing again some of the programs that I've done, so Thursday and Friday, you would not be able to call in and reach me, but then we'll be back on the air live on Monday, and I look forward to doing that. But that just gives you a lineup, and don't forget, we're always interested in your comments, your suggestions. Just send them to bbsradio.com. If you're on the website, you have a comment about a show, a guest, anything, just let us know about it. We're interested in how you feel about what we are doing for you, so we like your feedback. If you'd like to send me an email, if you've got a fabulous recipe or something special you would like to share, send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Also, don't forget you can always visit my website. My newsletters are there, the information on the glyconutrients, counseling, all of that. Just go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, and you'll be able to peruse and cruise through it and see whatever you want to see. And if you have any questions, then just give me a call. I do want to also let you know that this coming Monday, I am going to be doing a special broadcast with Eddie Burke on KFQD in Alaska. This is also streamed live. I'll be on from 9 to 10 in the morning, which is Alaska time, and, no, excuse me, 10 to 11 in the morning, Alaska time. And I'm going to be on the air with Eddie, and I'll be taking calls, and we'll be chatting, and then I'll be doing the regular show in the afternoon, as we always do here at bbsradio.com. But again, that's Eddie Burke, KFQD Radio, on Monday on the AM format. I wanted to share with you a story, and this is something that Roy sent to me, and it was titled Japanese Sunshine. History is always fascinating, and how people handle adversity is, to me, something very, very meaningful, because it inspires us sometimes when we read about someone else and how their life evolved out of what seemingly would be considered impossible, that we would not even dream that we could have coped with, but they did. Now, after World War II, Japan was really deep, deep in rubble from the World War, and there was a man, Masaru Ibuka. He and his partner opened up a repair shop in and among all of this debris, this mess that once was Tokyo. Now, they called their shop Tokyo Toshin Kogyo, and they said its purpose would be to do what others have not done. That was its mission statement. Well, in the years that passed, repairman Masaru Ibuka would become widely known for his books on education of young children. And he said, shortly before he passed away, I was blessed by Taiko, and she was the sunshine of my life. Now, the reason he was so involved with children is that Taiko, his daughter, was mentally retarded. And she just was, as he said, the sunshine of his life. Well, he wrote a number of these different stories, and I know we've got a caller on the line. So I am going to get back to this very special man's story, and you'll see something fascinating that evolved as he lived his life experience. He was part of a grand experiment of his own. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Glendale, Arizona.
All right, Darren, what's your first name or initial?
Robin.
All right, now, Robin, I'm going to ask you to go on hold with my associate there. Don will put you on hold because we've got to take a break quickly.
Okay.
All right?
All
right? So we're going to put Robin on hold. We're going to take a break, come back, take her call, and then we'll be finishing the story. Don't you go away now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again,
872-8852. BBS Radio.com.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.